of the Holy Spirit. If you are trusting in Jesus Christ and Him alone for your salvation, you are part of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that we share all around the world and in heaven, because we're all part of the Holy Spirit if we're trusting in Jesus, right? The Bible says we're in the Holy Spirit. So wherever He is, we are present with Him wherever He wants us to be. And so those of you listening online, we welcome you to the fellowship of the Holy Spirit as well. We're in John chapter 16. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. As you know, there have been several revivals taking place, awakenings, happenings taking place on college campuses and other places over the last several weeks to a month, and some really beautiful things taking place. And so I just want us to talk about the Holy Spirit and who He is and how He interacts in our life and the stories we have of Him in the Bible, both Old and New Testament, just to awaken our senses to what the Holy Spirit is doing with us and in us and through us. And so Jesus' teaching, and this is, you know, John chapter 12 through 17, is just my favorite passages in all the Bible. It's where Jesus has given His last instructions to the guys before He goes back to His Father. He says, look, I got some really important things I need to tell you, and you need to listen. You know, people on their deathbeds, they'll tell you things that are really important to them, and you need to pay attention. And so Jesus is saying, look, I'm going to die on a cross. I'm going to come back to life again, and then I'm going back to Dad. But I need to leave you some important things. And so that's what this passage is, this sweeping passage that we have in John. And it gets to chapter 16 here, verse 5. 16, verse 5. He says, now I'm going to Him who sent me, that is His Father. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I've said these things, you're filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. The Father is good all the time. Amen? Amen. He's always doing good in our life if we just trust Him. Every good and perfect gift, the Bible says, comes from the Father of lights, in whom there's no shadow of turning. In other words, no trickery, right? Every good and perfect gift comes. And now Jesus is saying, it's for your good that I go. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and will make it known to you. In a little while, you will see me no more, and then after a little while, you will see me again. Amen? So, quickly, four things that the Scripture points out. Now I'll get to the message, but just what the Scripture's saying. He's saying in verse 16, chapter 16, verse 8, He says, He will expose the guilt of the world. Right? And so the Holy Spirit will expose our guilt. He'll expose our sin. He'll say, Jim, this is sin. Stop doing it. This is sin. Don't do this anymore. Second thing it says, He will guide you into all truth. As the psalmist said in Psalm 143:10, he says, may your good spirit lead me on level ground. The Holy Spirit is always, always trying to lead us into truth unless we ignore Him. Now, He's leading, but if we ignore Him, we don't hear it, right? He's always saying, this is the path to follow, but we have the ability to say, I'm not going to listen to you, Holy Spirit. And at some point, He says, fine, go ahead. And I know I've told you this story before. It's funny about me. When I was 5 or 6, I was fascinated with wall sockets. You know, where you plug your lamp in, right? Right. I was so fascinated with them, I liked to get a butter knife out of the drawer and stick it in one side. Yes, David, I did that. Stick it into one side, right? I just thought it was fascinating. And if you stick it on one side, you kind of like, what's that? But you stick it on the other side and you go, oh, I know what that is, right? And it took me 4 times to realize I didn't want to stick that butter knife in that socket anymore. But after the first time, my mom said, don't do that, don't do that. After the second time, she said, don't do that, stop doing that. Finally, she said, great, just go ahead, do it. Right? bam, bam, against the other wall over there. It's like, okay, I get it now. I'm a slow learner. Okay, I admit it. I admit it. Thick head, right? I admit it. It takes me a while. The Holy Spirit's like that. He said, Jim, this is the truth. This is the way to go. And as long as I'm listening to him, it's going to be fine. But when I say, no, I'm going to do it my way, it's that bam, bam. You know, some lessons take longer to learn than others. Have you noticed that? And some lessons cost more than others.
Yeah.
Amen, or oh me. Oh me, right? So it says he will guide you into all truth. Third thing it says is he will tell you what is yet to come. Oh, wow. He will tell you what is yet to come for you if you'll just pay attention. So you get up in the morning, Holy Spirit, my job is to go to work today. I'm supposed to punch the clock at 7 or whatever time you roll in the, and I'm supposed to punch out at 5, whatever time you punch out. That's what my plan is. The Holy Spirit says, fine, that's great. But I'm gonna hijack you along the way because I got an assignment for you, right? And you simply say, okay, I'll be waiting. The Bible says he will tell us what is yet to come if we'll just ask him what is yet to come. The fourth thing it says is that I will testify about Jesus. He will testify about Jesus in your heart. Now, how is he going to testify about who Jesus is? He's going to speak to you and say, this is what Jesus would do in this situation. This is who Jesus was when he walked on the earth. This is who Jesus is now that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit's constantly telling us who Jesus is. Why? Two reasons. One, so that we can learn more about him. But secondly, as Wayne's already said, so that we can go tell others about who he is. Right? It's twofold. So, back to the passage. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, and it says he's a Holy Spirit. Now, he is spirit with capital S, right? He is spirit. We have a human spirit with a small s, right? We're human spirit, but he is the Holy Spirit. He's not just spirit, the spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit comes into our life to help us be holy. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. He wants us to be holy. And he'll use all manner of conversation in our life and other teachings that we hear and the songs that we hear and things that happen in our life to help us become holy. You see, we can be holy because we choose to be, right? Or we can be unholy because we choose to be. That's our choices. And so I want to show you how the Holy Spirit can work in your life, right? In the last week, I connected the Old Testament Holy Spirit with the New Testament Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit, right? In Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, and the Spirit, right, hovered. He brooded is the Hebrew word. He brooded over the earth as it was being formed. He sat there like a mother hen brooding over her eggs and over her chickens, right? He brooded over. So we find him in the very beginning of the Bible, right, the Holy Spirit. And we find him in different places in the Bible. And in the Old Testament, we discover that the Holy Spirit is on people. In the New Testament, we discover the Holy Spirit is in people and that we are in him and he is in us. That's what John chapters 14, 15, 16 tell us. But there's a story in the Old Testament I'd like for you to find it. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 19. 1 Samuel chapter 19. And we're going to begin reading in verse 18. So 1 Samuel 19 is a chapter that's talking about Saul, King Saul, who's trying to kill David. David was the rising king. He was going to be the king over Israel. Saul got jealous because David was doing greater works than he was doing. And so Saul decided, I'm just going to kill him. And that way I'll continue to be the king that everybody loves and inspires and everything. And so we get to chapter 19. And Saul's trying to kill David, and he sends some of his men, some of his soldiers, to take David out. All right, so verse 18. This is 1 Samuel chapter 19, beginning in verse 18. It says, when David had fled and made his escape, he went to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. Then he and Samuel went to Naoth, and stayed there. And word came to Saul, David is in Naboth at Ramah. So he sent his men to capture David. That is, Saul sent some soldiers. But when they saw a group of prophets prophesying with Samuel, standing there as their leader, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, came upon Saul's men, and they also prophesied. All right, so you got these brute guys, right? They got their swords out and their bow and arrows and their spears and everything, and they're coming to take David, right? We're going to get you. And they see Samuel, who's a prophet of God. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit has come on him, and he's prophesying probably about Daniel and about David and what God was going to do in his life, right? He's prophesying over him. And so these soldiers come up ready to take the soon-to-be king, and all of a sudden they start prophesying. The Holy Spirit comes on them, they start prophesying. I just think it's hilarious, don't you? I mean, think about it. Ready to take you. And all of a sudden they start prophesying how wonderful David is, right? Saul was told about it, and he sent more men. And when they got there, they started prophesying too. So he sent the second troop to go away to take David. Saul sent men a third time, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they also prophesied. Finally, he himself left for Ramah and went to the great cistern at Seku, and he asked, "Where are Samuel and David?" "Over in Naboth at Ramah," they said. So Saul went to Naboth at Ramah, but the Spirit of God came even upon him, and he walked along prophesying until he came to Naboth. He stripped off his robe and he prophesied in Samuel's presence. He lay that way all day and all night. And this is why the people say that Saul also is among the prophets. So the Holy Spirit was at work, right, protecting King David, or soon to be King David. And even when the bad guys came to get him, the Holy Spirit came on and said, "No, I'm going to speak truth into your lives." This is what we read in the New Testament, what we just read. He will bring truth. It says, "I will guide you into all truth." And even in this moment when the bad guys were trying to take David captive and then go kill him, the Holy Spirit came on them and said, "No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen." And he began speaking truth in their lives. We don't know the rest of the story about what those men thought, but can you imagine being tasked by the king, Saul, to go capture and kill David? And all of a sudden you see him and you start prophesying how wonderful he is. That would be the ultimate slap in the face, don't you think? Now, let's put that into our context. Maybe there's somebody that's after you. They've been a thorn in your side for years, right? The Holy Spirit can come on them and make them prophesy how wonderful you are, right? But what if you're that person that's a thorn in somebody else's side, right? I see some parents pointing to their teenagers, right? Listen, the Holy Spirit can come on you, and you can all of a sudden start prophesying on that person that you don't like, right? The Holy Spirit can come on you the same way. Why is that so important? It's because the Holy Spirit wants us to know the truth. You know, there, and I don't want to get into a political conversation here at all, but there are things taking place in our world, and over the last 3 years, we've seen some really weird stuff, right? Mm-hmm. We've seen a lot of lies that we're now seeing the truth of, right? We were told this, and now we're seeing this. We were told this, and it's being proven this. The Holy Spirit wants us to know the truth over here, so that when it gets over here, we're like, "Well, the Holy Spirit told me that," right? But we have to ask. We have to want to receive the truth. We have to look through the lies and say, "God, this doesn't sound right. I don't understand this." However you might express it to him, "I want to know the truth about this." And just keep asking, "God, I just want to know the truth." And the Bible says that if we earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more so will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And so if you're concerned about this, it doesn't quite sound right, that's the Holy Spirit troubling you, saying this is not true. He says, "I want to lead you into the truth of what it is over here." So we've been talking about resilience this year. The Holy Spirit will help you be resilient in this year if you'll just ask him, right? So here's the message. So if we are guided into holiness, and that's what the Holy Spirit wants for us. He wants us to be holy, born again, human spirits with a little S, because he's the Holy Spirit, big S. He wants us to be holy. How do we live holy lives in this world where lies are everywhere, deception is everywhere, right? How do we live that holy life? Four things, H-O-L-Y, spells the word holy. You ready? How are we to live in holiness? The first thing is, honor God as the good Father that he is. Honor God as the good Father that he is. In Malachi, we read, Malachi chapter 1, we read where the prophet says, God speaking through the prophet says, if I'm your father, where's my honor? If I'm your father, where is my honor? And the rest of that chapter, he goes on to explain what he means. He says, when it comes time for sacrifice, you know, back in Jewish days, they would sacrifice a sheep, right, and to sacrifice for their sins. And they were supposed to give the best sheep or the best animal they had in the flock. But when, and they vowed, I'm going to give the best. So on January, I'm going to give the best. By the time the offering came in December, when it was time to make the sacrifice, they got the worst animal they could. An old crippled animal, you know, like a pigeon with one wing, you know, three toes on one foot, you know, just one eye. You know what I'm saying? They found the worst sacrifice they could and offered it. And what Malachi is saying is, if I'm your father, why aren't you giving me your best? Why aren't you honoring me with the best you have? Right? He's not saying the most expensive. He's not saying the most extravagant. He's saying, could you just give me your best? If I'm your father, why not give me your best? Right? And so if we want to live a holy life, if we want to enter into holiness and find more holiness every day, and it's a process, right? You're not automatically holy one day and so forth. It's a lifelong process, entering the holiness. If we really want to be holy, then the Holy Spirit is going to direct us to honor the Father, who's always good, to honor him with the best that we have. Secondly, if we want to live in holiness, we need to obey God. We need to obey God. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, it says that obedience is better than sacrifice. Jesus says in John chapter 14, 23, if you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, you will obey me. And then in Matthew 28, verse 20, we're commissioned to go make disciples, right? And baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we're to teach them to what? Obey everything I commanded. We're to teach people to obey everything I commanded. So if we want to enter into this process of holiness in our life, we must obey God. You know, Jesus gave about 40 or 50 commands, depending on how you break them down, but about 40 or 50 different commands in his teachings. That's not a lot. The Old Testament, there's 613 commands, right? So Jesus boiled it all down to about 50. And you could probably put those in different categories and make it an even smaller number. But do we really know what he commanded? Right? Love those who hate you, right? Pray for those who despitefully use you, right? Do we know those commands that he gave us? So, if you don't know them, study the New Testament and discover what they are. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John particularly. Study the Gospels and find out what Jesus said and how we're supposed to live our life. Don't study man's rules and man's regulations. Pick up the Bible, read it for yourself, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and see what Jesus said. And if you'll get a Bible like mine, if you don't have one, where the letters of Jesus are in red, that really helps a lot. I love being able to pick up and read the red letters because that's what Jesus said. So honor God as the good Father that he is. Second, obey God. The third thing is, learn about God. Learn of God. Not just learn the facts and the data, but learn it for yourself. Learn it in such a way where, oh, I get it now. You know, there's a saying that what I hear, I forget. Right? What I see, I remember. But what I do, I understand. And as we learn something about God, and as we do that thing that we've learned about God, right? Love those who hate you, right? Pray for those who despitefully use you. As we start practicing who God is in our life, we learn of Him. Reading the Bible and learning what it says, fabulous, right? Practicing what it says, amazing, right? It's just, it makes a difference in our marketplace if we practice who God is. And so this third process I'm talking about in leading us into holiness is we must learn of God. We must learn about God. We must learn to practice who God is in our marketplace, right? So if you discover something about God, then practice it. If God is the God of peace, right? Shalom, Jehovah Shalom, right? The God of peace. Then let's practice peace. Boy, the world needs that, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Everywhere we turn, it's just going on. Let's be bringers of peace, right? And that's only through Jesus Christ can we do that. If He's Jehovah Roy, the God who is our light, right? Then let's be light to people. Let's shed light on darkness. Let's expose lies with the truth, right? If He is our shepherd, Jehovah Ra, if He's our shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, then let's practice shepherding people. Let's, whether it's your children or maybe in your workplace with teachers, you're shepherds in such a massive way in the school system, let's learn to shepherd people. So honor God as the good Father He is. Second, obey God. Third, learn about God. Know who He is personally, intimately, right? The Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. If you want to pray a really powerful prayer in the morning or any other time during the day, say, God, what's on your heart? God, what is on your heart right now? Don't put any parameters on it. Just say, God, what is on your heart right now? Ask Him. Father, what are you thinking right now? And wait for Him to tell you what He's thinking. That's why the Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. Now, we know David was an adulterer, part of a premeditated murder. You know, all these things we know about him. But still, the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. God, what's on your heart? All right, and the fourth thing. Why? Yoke yourself together daily with God. And we don't use that word yoke, but Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 11, He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm going to be the big oxen here. You learn of me, little oxen, come along beside me and put a yoke around your neck and we'll yoke together and I will show you how to do this. My yoke is not heavy. He says, I'm carrying most of the load, as a matter of fact. But if you'll partner with me in this life, if you'll partner with me, I will lead you into righteousness. I will lead you into holiness. Mm-hmm. So we're to yoke together daily with God. We're to labor with Him, right? Come along beside and labor with Him. Matthew 9:37 says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Right? That is people who will get up every day. Whatever your marketplace is, students, if it's at school, your marketplace is in the school, right? Wherever it may be, this is my marketplace. I'm going to be ready to be used by God. I'm going to be ready. And I'm going to work wherever I see God at work. The Bible says God's at work all the time, all around the world, right? Trying to convince people that He loves them. And He uses us to carry that message out. Yoke together daily with God. Labor with Him. Paul calls us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. He says, we are fellow workers with God in God's field. So I'll close by this. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. It says, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. We find the Holy Spirit in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, we find where John calls us to follow the Spirit of truth. Right? So from Zechariah in the Old Testament to near the end of the New Testament, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6, we find the Holy Spirit present in and through the lives of God's people. So He, the Holy Spirit, is present this morning. He wants to work in your life. Will you allow Him? Will you just open up the arms of your heart and say, here I am, Holy Spirit. Have your way with me this morning. Teach me, guide me, help me, comfort me, correct me. I'm here, Holy Spirit. Just open up the arms of your heart and say, here I am. Have your way with me. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we symbolically open our arms this morning, the arms of our heart, and say, Holy Spirit, just have your way with us. Have your way with me. Come into my life and speak to me. Tell me what's on the Father's heart. Tell me what's on the heart of Jesus for his church. Holy Spirit, tell me what's in your heart for my life. Cleanse me, heal me. Come, Holy Spirit, have your way with us. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Emmanuel, Yeshua, the God who is with us always, we pray. Amen.